In our complete series of the operas of W.S. Gilbert and Arthur Sullivan, we present The Mikado, or The Town of Titipu.
Thank you.
palace of Koko, the Lord High Executioner. A group of Japanese noblemen is assembled in the courtyard.
Snatches and dreamy lullaby. My catalogue is long, through every passion ranging, and to your humours changing, I tune my supple song. I tune my song. but a patriotic sentiment is wanted. By patriotic banners cut and dried. Or where'er our country's banner may be planted, all other local banners are defied. Our warriors in serried ranks are assembled. Never quail, or they conceal it if they do. And I shouldn't be surprised if nations tremble before the mighty troops that are submitted.
We shouldn't be surprised if nations tremble.
Call for a song of the sea, we'll heave the capstan around. With a yo-heave-ho of the wind is free, our anchor's a trip and our helm's a lee. Hurrah for the homeward bound!
Yo-ho-heave-ho, hurrah for the homeward bound!
To lay aloft in a howling breeze may tickle a landsman's taste, but the happiest hour a sailor sees is when he's down at an inland town with his fancy on his knees. Yo-ho! His arm around her waist.
Then man the capstan of people with the pinner strings astrand. With the young people and the army in open ground. With the open ground. With the young people and the army in open ground. With the young people and the army in open ground. The army, army, army,
wandering minstrel I, a thing of shreds and patches, of ballad songs and snatches, and dreamy lullaby, and dreamy lullaby, and lullaby.
And what may be your business with Yum Yum?
I'll tell you. A year ago, I was a member of the Titipu Town Band. It was my duty to take the cap round for contributions. While discharging this delicate office, I saw Yum Yum. We loved each other at once, but she was betrothed to her guardian Coco, a cheap tailor, and I saw that my suit was hopeless. Overwhelmed with despair, I quitted the town. Judge of my delight when I heard a month ago that Coco had been condemned to death for flirting. I hurried back at once in the hope of finding Yum Yum at liberty to listen to my protestations.
It is true that Coco was condemned to death for flirting, but he was reprieved at the last moment and raised to the exalted rank of Lord High Executioner under the following remarkable circumstances.
Great Mikado, virtuous man, when he to rule our land began, resolved to try a plan whereby young men might best be steadied. So he decreed in words succinct that all who flirted, leered, or winked, unless connubially linked, should forthwith be beheaded, 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 should forthwith be beheaded. And I expect you'll all agree that he was right to so decree. And I am right, and you are right, and all is right as right can be.
And you are right, and we are right, and all is right as right as right can be.
And all is right as right can be.
Right as right can be.
Decree, you'll understand, caused great dismay throughout the land, for young and old and shy and bold were equally affected. The youth who winked a roving eye or breathed a non-connubial sigh was thereupon condemned to die. He usually objected, objected, objected. He usually objected. And you'll allow, as I expect, that he was right to so object. And I am right, and you are right, and everything is quite correct.
And you are right, and we are right, and everything is quite, correct.
And everything is quite correct.
All is quite correct.
convict from the county jail, whose head was next on some pretext condemned to be mown off, and made him headsman for, we said, who's next to be decapitated, cannot cut off another's head until he's cut his own off, his own off, his own off, until he's cut his own off. And we are right, I think you'll say, to argue in this kind of way. And I am right, and you are right, and all is right, and
you are right, and we are right, and all is right, and all is right.
And I am right, and you are right,
and all is right.
Coco, the cheap tailor. Lord High Executioner of Titipu? Why, that's the highest rank a citizen can attain.
It is. Our logical Mikado, seeing no moral difference between the dignified judge who condemns a criminal to die and the industrious mechanic who carries out the sentence, has rolled the two offices into one, and every judge is now his own executioner.
But how good of you, for I see that you are a nobleman of the highest rank, to condescend to tell all this to me, a mere strolling minstrel.
Don't mention it. I am, in point of fact, a particularly haughty and exclusive person of pre-Adamite ancestral descent. You will understand this when I tell you that I can trace my ancestry back to a protoplasmal, primordial, atomic globule. Consequently, my family pride is something inconceivable. I can't help it. I was born sneering, but I struggle hard to overcome this defect. I mortify my pride continually. When all the great officers of state resigned in a body because they were too proud to serve under an ex-tailor, did I not unhesitatingly accept all their posts at once?
And the salaries attached to them. You did.
It is consequently my degrading duty to serve this upstart as First Lord of the Treasury, Lord Chief Justice, Commander-in-Chief, Lord High Admiral, Master of the Buckhounds, Groom of the Backstairs, Archbishop of Titipu, and Lord Mayor, both acting and elect, all rolled into one. And at a salary, a poobah paid for his services, I a salaried minion, but I do it. It revolts me, but I do it.
And it does you credit.
But I don't stop at that. I go and dine with middle-class people on reasonable terms. I dance at cheap suburban parties for a moderate fee. I accept refreshment at any hands, however lowly. I also retail state secrets at a very low figure. For instance, any further information about Yum Yum would come under the head of a state secret.
Hmm? Oh.
Another insult. And I think a light one.
Despair, likewise go to Yum Yum, the fair you must not woo. It will not do, I'm sorry for you, you very imperfect ablutioner. This very day from school, Yum Yum will wend her way and home would come with beat a drum and a rum-tum-tum to wed the Lord High Executioner. And the brass will crash and the trumpets bray and they'll cut a dash on their wedding day. She'll toddle away as Oliver with the Lord High Executioner.
And the brass will crash, and the trumpets bray, and the congregation of the wedding day. She'll toddle away as Oliver with the Lord High Executioner.
a hopeless case, as you may see. And in your place, away I flee. But don't blame me, I'm sorry to be of your pleasure a diminutioner. They'll vow their pact extremely soon. In point of fact, this afternoon, her honeymoon with that buffoon at 7 commences, so you shun her. And the brass will crash, and the trumpets bray, and they'll cut a dash on their wedding day. She'll toddle away as Oliver with the Lord High Executioner.
And the brass will crash, and the trumpets bray, and they'll cut a dash on their wedding day. She'll toddle away as Oliver with the Lord High Executioner.
And have I journeyed for a month or nearly to learn that Yum-Yum, whom I love so dearly, this day to Coco is to be united?
The fact appears to be as you've recited. But here he comes, equipped as suits his station. He'll give you any further information.
Liberated then on bail, on mere recognizances, wafted by a favoring gale, as one sometimes is in trances, to a height that few can scale. Sable long and weary dances, surely never had a male, under such like circumstances, so adventurous a tale, which may wreck with most romances. Taken from the county jail,
from the county jail,
by a set of curious chances, surely never had a name so adventurous a tale.
Touched by this reception, I can only trust that by strict attention to duty I shall ensure a continuance of those favors which it will ever be my study to deserve. if I should ever be called upon to act professionally, I am happy to think that there will be no difficulty in finding plenty of people whose loss will be a distinct gain to society at large. Someday it may happen that a victim must be found. I've got a little list of society offenders who might well be underground and who never would be missed. There's the pestilential nuisances who write for autographs, or people who have flabby hands and irritating laughs, or children who are up in dates and bore you with them flat, or people who in shaking hands shake hands with you like that, and all third persons who on spoiling tete-a-tete insist. They'd none of them be missed.
He's got them on the list, and then none of them be missed.
There's the banjo serenader and the others of his race and the piano organist. I've got him on the list. And the people who eat peppermint and puff it in your face, they never would be missed. Then the idiot who praises with enthusiastic tone all centuries but this and every country but his own. And the lady from the provinces who dresses like a guy and who doesn't think she dances but would rather like to try. And that singular anomaly, the gossip columnist, well, I don't think he'd be missed. I'm sure he'd not be missed.
He's got him on the list, and I don't think he'll be missed. I'm sure he'll not be missed.
And that nice eye prior snoozant who just now is rather rife, the judicial humorist, I've got him on the list. All funny fellows, comic men and clowns of private life, they'd none of them be missed. And apologetic statesmen of a compromising kind, such as, whatchamacallit, Thingamabob, and likewise... Never mind. And what's his name? And also, you know who? The task of filling up the blanks I'd rather leave to you, for it really doesn't matter whom you put upon the list, for they'd none of them be missed.
You may put them on the list, and they'd none of them be missed.
Pooh-bah, it seems that the festivities in connection with my approaching marriage must last a week. I should like to do it handsomely, and I want to consult you as the amount I ought to spend upon them.
Certainly. In which of my capacities? As First Lord of the Treasury, Lord Chamberlain, Attorney General, Chancellor of the Exchequer, Privy Purse, or Private Secretary?
Suppose we say as Private Secretary.
Speaking as your Private Secretary, I should say that as the city will have to pay for it, don't stint yourself. Do it well.
Exactly, as the city will have to pay for it. That is your advice.
As Private Secretary. Of course, you'll understand that as Chancellor of the Exchequer, I am bound to see that due economy is observed.
Oh, but you said just now, don't stint yourself. Do it well.
As Private Secretary.
Now you say that due economy must be observed.
As Chancellor of the Exchequer.
I see. Come over here where the Chancellor can't hear us. Now, as my solicitor, how do you advise me to deal with this difficulty?
Oh, as your solicitor, I should have no hesitation in saying chance it.
Thank you, I will.
If it were not that as Lord Chief Justice, I am bound to see that the law isn't violated.
I see. Come over here where the Chief Justice can't hear us. Now then, as First Lord of the Treasury.
Of course. As First Lord of the Treasury, I could propose a special vote that would cover all expenses. Ooh. If it were not that as leader of the opposition, it would be my duty to resist it tooth and nail. Or as Paymaster General, I could so cook the accounts that as Lord High Auditor, I should never discover the fraud. But then, as Archbishop of Titipu, it would be my duty to denounce my dishonesty and give myself into my own custody as First Commissioner of Police.
That's extremely awkward.
I don't say that all these distinguished people couldn't be squared, but it is right to tell you that they wouldn't be sufficiently degraded in their own estimation unless they're insulted with a very considerable bribe.
The matter shall have my careful consideration. but my bride and her sister's approach, and any little compliments on your part, such as an abject grovel in a characteristic Japanese attitude, would be esteemed a favor.
No money, no grovel.
That is to be.
You're not going to kiss me before all these people.
Oh, that was the idea.
Seems odd, don't it?
It's rather peculiar.
Oh, I expect it's all right. Must have a beginning, you know.
Well, of course, I know nothing about these things. But I've no objection, if it's usual.
Oh, it's quite usual, I think. Eh, Lord Chamberlain?
I have known it done.
Thank goodness that's over. Nanky Poo.
Oh, now tell us how you do.
I haven't seen you ever since long, and I'm rattled at the
day. I beg your pardon. Will you present me?
Oh, this is the musician who you
used to... One at a time, if you please.
Oh, if you please. He's the gentleman who used to play so beautifully on the
Marine Parade.
Yes, I think that was the name of the instrument.
Sir, I have the misfortune to love your ward, Yum Yum. Oh, I know I deserve your anger.
Anger? Not a bit, my boy. Why, I love her myself. Charming little girl, isn't she? Pretty eyes, nice hair, taking little thing altogether.
Very glad to hear my opinion backed by a competent authority. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Take him away.
But wait.
I beg your pardon, but what is this? Customer come to try on?
That is a tremendous swell.
Oh, it's alive.
Go away, little girls. Can't talk to little girls like you. Go away, there's dears.
Allow me to present you, Pooh-Bah. These are my three wards. The one in the middle is my bride-elect.
What do you want me to do to them? Mind, I will not kiss them.
No, you shan't kiss them. A little bow, a mere nothing. You needn't mean it, you know.
It goes against the grain. They are not young ladies. They are young persons.
Come, make an effort. There's a good nobleman.
Well, I shan't mean it. Howdy-do, little girls. Howdy-do. Oh, my protoplasmal ancestor.
That's very good.
I see nothing to laugh at. It is very painful to me to have to say, howdy-do, little girls, howdy-do, to young persons. I'm not in the habit of saying, howdy-do, little girls, howdy-do, to anybody under the rank of a stockbroker.
Don't laugh at him. He can't help it. He's under treatment for it. Never mind them, Pooh-Bah. They don't understand the delicacy of your position.
We know how delicate it is, don't we?
I should think we did. How a nobleman of your importance can do it at all is a thing I never can, never shall understand.
So please just very much regret if we have failed in etiquette. Towards a man of rank so high, we shall know better by and by. But youth, of course, must have its fling, so pardon us, and don't in girlhood's happy spring be hard on us, if we're inclined to dance and sing, la 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 la. But youth, of course, must have its fling, so pardon us, and don't in girlhood's happy spring be hard on us.
Cannot show too much respect toward the highly titled few, but nobody does, and why should you? The youth that us should have its fling is pardon us, to our prerogative we cling. So pardon us, if we decline to dance and sing.
But youth, of course, must have its fling, so pardon us, and don't in girls whose happy spring be hard on us.
Yum, at last we're alone. I've sought you night and day for 3 weeks in the belief that your guardian was beheaded, and I find that you're about to be married to him this afternoon.
Alas, yes.
But you do not love him.
Alas, no.
Modified rapture. But why do you not refuse him?
What good would that do? He's my guardian, and he wouldn't let me marry you.
But I would wait until you were of age.
You forget that in Japan, girls do not arrive at years of discretion until they are 50.
True. From 17 to 49 are considered years of indiscretion.
Besides, a wandering minstrel who plays a wind instrument outside tea houses is hardly a fitting husband for the ward of a Lord High Executioner.
But shall I tell her? Yes, she will not betray me. What if it should prove that, after all, I am no musician?
There. I was certain of it directly I heard you play.
What if it should prove that I am no other than the son of His Majesty the Mikado?
The son of the Mikado? But why is your Highness disguised, and what has your Highness done? And will your Highness promise never to do it again?
Some years ago, I had the misfortune to captivate Katishar,
oh?
An elderly lady of my father's court. She misconstrued my customary affability into expressions of affection and claimed me in marriage under my father's law. My father, the Lucius Junius Brutus of his race, ordered me to marry her within a week or perish ignominiously on the scaffold. And that night I fled his court, and assuming the disguise of a second trombone, I joined the band in which you found me when I had the happiness of seeing you.
If you please, I think your highness had better not come too near. The laws against flirting are excessively severe.
But we're quite alone, and nobody can see us.
Still, that don't make it right. To flirt is capital.
It is capital.
And we must obey the law.
Oh, deuce take the law.
Oh, I wish it would, but it won't.
If it were not for that, how happy we might be.
Happy indeed.
If it were not for the law, we should now be sitting side by side, like that.
Instead of being obliged to sit half a mile off, like that.
We should be gazing into each other's eyes, like that.
Breathing sighs of unutterable love, like that.
With our arms round each other's waists, like that.
Yes, if it wasn't for the law.
If it wasn't for the law.
As it is, of course. We couldn't do anything of the kind.
Not for worlds.
Being engaged to Coco, you know.
Being engaged to Coco.
Were you not to Coco plighted, I would say in tender tone, loved one, let us be united, let us be other's own. I would emerge all rank and station, worldly spheres are known to us, and to mark my admiration, I would kiss you fondly thus. I would kiss you fondly.
To Coco, to embrace you thus for Coco, whose distance will be no joke, and for yam I should give Toco.
Toco, 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 Toco. So in spite of all temptation, such a thing I'll not discuss, and on no consideration will I kiss you. Let me make it clear to you, this is what I'll never do. This, oh this, oh this, oh this, this is what I'll never, never do.
This, oh this, oh this, oh this,
this is what I'll never do.
I'll never do.
I'll never do.
I'll never do.
Oh this, this is what I'll never
do.
She goes. To think how entirely my future happiness is wrapped up in that little parcel. Really, it hardly seems worthwhile. Oh, matrimony.
Don't hurry me, Pish-tush.
Now then, what is it? Can't you see I'm soliloquizing? You have interrupted an apostrophe.
I am the bearer of a letter from His Majesty the Mikado.
A letter from the Mikado? What in the world could he have to say to me? Here it is at last. I thought it would come sooner or later.
The Mikado is struck by the fact that no executions have taken place in Titipu for a year and decrees that unless somebody is beheaded within 1 month, the post of Lord High Executioner shall be abolished and the city reduced to the rank of a village.
But that will involve us all in irretrievable ruin.
Yes, there's no help for it. I shall have to execute somebody at once. The only question is, who shall it be?
Well, it seems unkind to say so, but as you're already under sentence of death for flirting, everything seems to point to you.
To me? What are you talking about? I can't execute myself.
Why not?
Why not? Because, in the first place, self-decapitation is an extremely difficult, not to say dangerous thing to attempt. And in the second, it's suicide. And suicide is a capital offence.
That is so, no doubt.
We might reserve that point.
True, it could be argued 6 months hence before the full court.
Besides, I don't see how a man can cut off his own head.
A man might try.
Even if you only succeeded in cutting it half off, that would be something.
It would be taken as an earnest of your desire to comply with the imperial will.
No, pardon me, but there I am adamant. As official headsman, my reputation is at stake, and I can't consent to embark on a professional operation unless I see my way to a successful result.
This professional conscientiousness is highly creditable to you, but it places us in a very awkward position.
My good sir, the awkwardness of your position is grace itself compared with that of a man engaged in the act of cutting off his own head.
I'm afraid that unless you can obtain a substitute...
A substitute? Oh, certainly nothing easier. Pooh Bah, I appoint you Lord High Substitute.
I should be delighted. Such an appointment would realize my fondest dreams. But no, at any sacrifice, I must set bounds to my insatiable ambition.
I am so proud if I allowed my family pride to be my guide. I volunteer to quit this sphere instead of you in a minute or two. But family pride must be denied and set aside and mortified and mortified.
My brainy teams with endless schemes, both good and new, for Titipu, but if I flit the benefit that I diffuse, the town would lose. Now every man to aid his clan should plot and plan as best he can.
I heard one day a gentleman say that criminals who are cut in two can hardly feel the fatal steel, and so are slain without much pain. If this is true, it's jolly for you, your courage screw to bid us adieu.
I am so proud.
My brain
if I can
my
family right to a cutting to my pride.
I fail to stand with you.
I'll say, without much pain. If this is
the end of you,
let us go to bed as a duty
can. And so, although I'm ready to go, yet recollect what disrespect did I neglect to thus effect this aim direct, so I object.
And so, although I wish to go and greatly find to brightly shine and take the line of a hero fine with grief condign, I must decline.
And go and show a friend and foe how much you dare. I'm quite aware it's your affair. Yet I declare I take your share, but I don't much care.
I must.
No, I take your share, but I don't much care.
I take
your share, but I don't
much
care. I take your share, but I don't much care.
I don't much care.
I don't much care. To sit in solemn silence in a dull, dark, dark, in a pestilential prison with a light long, long, awaiting the cessation of a short, sharp shock.
To sit in silence in a dull, dark, dark, in a pestilential prison with a light long, long, awaiting the cessation of a short, sharp shock.
I who allowed myself to be respited at the last moment simply in order to benefit my native town am now required to die within a month, and that by a man whom I have loaded with honours. Is this public gratitude? Is this pub... Go away, sir. How dare you? Am I never to be permitted to soliloquize?
Oh, go on. Don't mind me.
What are you going to do with that rope?
I'm about to terminate an unendurable existence.
Terminate your existence? Oh, nonsense. What for?
Because you are going to marry the girl I adore.
Nonsense, sir. I won't permit it. I am a humane man, and if you attempt anything of the kind, I shall order your instant arrest. Come, sir, desist at once, or I summon my guard.
That's absurd. If you attempt to raise an alarm, I instantly perform the happy dispatch with this dagger.
No, don't do that. This is horrible. Why, you cold-blooded scoundrel, are you aware that in taking your life, you are committing a crime which is substitute?
What's the matter?
Is it absolutely certain that you're resolved to die?
Absolutely.
Will nothing shake your resolution?
Nothing.
Threats, entreaties, prayers, all useless.
All. My mind is made up.
Then if you really mean what you say, and if you are absolutely resolved to die, and if nothing whatever will shake your determination, don't spoil yourself by committing suicide, but be beheaded handsomely at the hands of the public executioner.
I don't see how that would benefit me.
You don't? Observe. You'll have a month to live, and you'll live like a fighting cock at my expense. When the day comes, there'll be a grand public ceremonial. You will be the central figure. No one will attempt to deprive you of that distinction. There'll be a procession, bands, dead march, bells tolling, all the girls in tears, yum-yum distracted. Then, when it's all over, general rejoicings and a display of fireworks in the evening. You won't see them, but they'll be there all the same.
Do you think Yum-Yum would really be distracted at my death?
I am convinced of it. Bless you, she's the most tender-hearted little creature alive.
I should be sorry to cause her pain. Perhaps, after all, if I were to withdraw from Japan and travel in Europe for a couple of years, I might contrive to forget her.
Oh, I don't think you could forget Yum-Yum so easily. And after all, what is more miserable than a love-blighted life?
True.
Life without Yum-Yum. Why, it seems absurd.
And yet, there are a good many people in the world who have to endure it.
Poor devils, yes, you are quite right not to be of their number.
I won't be of their number.
Noble fellow.
I'll tell you how we'll manage it. Let me marry Yum-Yum tomorrow, and in a month you may behead me.
No, I draw the line at Yum-Yum.
Very good. If you can draw the line, so can I.
Stop. Listen one moment. Be reasonable. How can I consent to your marrying Yum-Yum if I'm going to marry her myself?
My good friend, she'll be a widow in a month, and you can marry her then.
Oh, that's true, of course. Quite see that. But dear me. My position during the next month will be most unpleasant.
Not half so unpleasant as my position at the end of it.
But, dear me, well, I agree. After all, it's only putting off my wedding for a month. But you won't prejudice her against me, will you? You see, I've educated her to be my wife. She's been taught to regard me as a wise and good man. Now, I shouldn't like her views on that point disturbed.
Trust me, she shall never learn the truth from me.
We must spend the night gloomy strife.
ask you what you mean to do, we punctually appear.
Congratulate me, gentlemen, I count a volunteer.
A gentleman, gentlemen, a gentleman, here,
surrender. Now I adore that girl with passion tender, and could not yield her with a ready will, or her a lot, if I did not adore myself with passion tender still, with passion tender still.
And the cloud has passed away.
And only shines the dawning day.
What though the night may come too soon?
Is yet a month of the moon.
And yet no dawn.
It is the torch of Eros.
With loving song.
It now brings our Eros. And lift the throne our joy at us. With loving song and merry us. With loving song and merry us.
The maid of whom I told you.
No!
plea. On this subject, I pray you be dumb. You'll find there are many who wait for a penny. The word for your guidance is mum. There's lots of good fish in the sea.
On this subject, we pray you be dumb, dumb, dumb. We think you have better some dumb, dumb, dumb. You'll find there are many who wait for a penny. Who wait for a penny. There are lots of good fish in the sea. There are lots of good fish in the sea. There's lots of good fish, good fish in the sea. There's lots of good fish, good fish in the sea. In the sea.
He's the only son of yours.
In Coco's garden, Pitti Singh and her maids prepare Yum Yum for her marriage with Nanki Poo.
Sometimes I sit and wonder, in my artless Japanese way, why it is that I am so much more attractive than anybody else in the whole world. Can this be vanity? No. Nature is lovely and rejoices in her loveliness. I am a child of nature and take after my mother.
For shame so kindly made dark. that blesses day, the moon celestial high. In the sky, we really know our worth, the sun and earth. Observe his flame that blesses day, celestial highness. There's not a trace upon her face of diffidence or shyness. She borrows light that through the night mankind may all glimmer. And truth to tell, she lights up well, so I for one don't blame her.
Seems to smile upon me. I am to be married today to the man I love best, and I believe I'm the very happiest girl in Japan.
The happiest girl indeed, for she is indeed to be envied who has attained happiness in all but perfection.
In all but perfection?
Well, dear, it can't be denied that the fact that your husband is to be beheaded in a month is, in its way, a drawback. It does seem to take the top off it, you know.
I don't know about that. It all depends.
At all events, he will find it a drawback.
Not necessarily. Bless you, it all depends.
I think it very indelicate of you to refer to such a subject on such a day. If my married happiness is to be...
Cut short.
Well, cut short in a month. Can't you let me forget it?
Yum Yum in tears and on her wedding morn.
Oh, they've been reminding me that in a month you're to be beheaded.
Oh, yes. We've been reminding her that you're to be beheaded. It's quite true, you know. You are to be beheaded.
How some bridegrooms would be depressed by this sort of thing, Pishtash. A month. Well, what's a month? These divisions of time are purely arbitrary. Who says 24 hours make a day?
There's a popular impression to that effect.
Then we'll efface it. We'll call each second a minute, each minute an hour, each hour a day, and each day a year. At that rate, we've about 30 years of married happiness before us.
And at that rate, this interview has already lasted 4 hours and three quarters.
Yes. How time flies when one is thoroughly enjoying oneself.
That's the way to look at it. Don't let's be downhearted. There's a silver lining to every cloud.
Certainly. Let's be perfectly happy.
By all means, let's thoroughly enjoy ourselves.
It's absurd to cry. Quite ridiculous.
Brightly dawns our wedding day.
Joyous are we, give thee greeting, with a river not half heating. Think a moment, pray thee stay. Think a moment, pray thee stay.
What though mortal joys be hollow,
pleasures come if sorrows follow.
Though the tocsin sound bellow,
the tocsin sound bellow,
ding dong,
sleeping, little maid for woeful weeping, till the sexton is near, till the sexton is near.
All must sip the cup of sorrow.
I today and thou tomorrow.
This the close of every service.
I'm afraid we're distressing you.
Never mind, I must get used to it. Only please do it by degrees. Begin by putting your arm around her waist. There, let me get used to that first.
Oh, would you like to retire? It must pain you to see us so affectionate together.
No, I must learn to bear it. Now oblige me by allowing her head to rest on your shoulder.
Like that?
I'm much obliged to you. Now, kiss her. Thank you. Simple torture.
Come, come, bear up. After all, it's only for a month.
No, it's no use deluding oneself with false hopes.
What do you mean?
My child, my poor child. How shall I break it to her? My little bride that was to have been.
Was to have been?
Yes, you never can be mine.
What? I'm so glad.
I've just ascertained that by the Mikado's law, when a married man is beheaded, his wife is buried alive.
Buried alive?
Buried alive. It's a most unpleasant death.
But whom did you get that from?
Oh, from Pooh Bah. He's my solicitor.
But he may be mistaken.
So I thought. So I consulted the Attorney General, the Lord Chief Justice, the Master of the Rolls, the Judge Ordinary, and the Lord Chancellor. They're all of the same opinion. Never knew such unanimity on a point of law in my life.
But stop a bit. This law has never been put in force.
Not yet. You see, flirting is the only crime punishable with decapitation, and married men never flirt.
Of course they don't. I quite forgot that. Well, I suppose I may take it that my dream of happiness is at an end.
Darling, I don't want to appear selfish, and I love you with all my heart. I don't suppose I shall ever love anybody else half as much. But when I agreed to marry you, my own, I had no idea, pet, that I should have to be buried alive in a month.
Nor I. It's the very first I've heard of it.
It makes a difference, don't it?
It does make a difference, of course.
You see, burial alive, it's such a stuffy death.
I call it a beast of a death.
You see my difficulty, don't you?
Yes, and I see my own. If I insist on your carrying out your promise, I doom you to a hideous death. If I release you, you marry Coco at once.
Here's a howdy-do. If I marry you, when your time has come to perish, then the maiden whom you cherish must be slaughtered too. Here's a howdy-do. Here's a howdy-do.
Here's a pretty mess, in a month or less. I must die without a wedding. Let the bitter tears I'm shedding witness my distress. Here's a pretty mess. Here's a pretty mess.
here's a state of things. To her life she clings. Matrimonial devotion doesn't seem to suit her notion. Burial it brings. Here's a state of things. Here's a state of things.
With the passion that's intense, I worship and adore. But the laws of common sense we ought to ignore. If what he says is true, 'tis death to marry you. Here's a pretty state of things. Here's a pretty howdy-do. Here's a pretty state of things. A pretty state of things.
Here's a howdy-do.
Here's a howdy-do. For if what he says is true, I cannot marry you. Here's a pretty, pretty state of things.
Here's a pretty howdy-do.
My poor boy, I'm really very sorry for you.
Thanks, old fellow. I'm sure you are.
You see, I'm quite helpless.
I quite see that.
I can't conceive anything more distressing than to have one's marriage broken off at the last moment.
But you shan't be disappointed of a wedding. You shall come to mine. It's awfully kind of you, but that's impossible.
Why so?
Today I die.
What do you mean?
I can't live without Yum Yum. This afternoon I perform the happy dispatch.
No, no, pardon me. I can't allow that.
Why not?
Why, hang it all. You're under contract to die by the hands of the public executioner in a month's time. If you kill yourself, what's to become of me? Why, I should have to be executed in your place.
It would certainly seem so.
Now then, Lord Mayor, what is it?
Oh, the Mikado and his suite are approaching the city and will be here in 10 minutes.
The Mikado? He's coming to see whether his orders have been carried out. Now, look here, you know, this is getting serious. A bargain's a bargain. You really mustn't frustrate the ends of justice by committing suicide. As a man of honour and a gentleman, you are bound to die ignominiously by the hands of the public executioner.
Very well, then. Behead me.
What, now?
Certainly, at once.
Chop it off, Coco, chop it off.
My good sir, I don't go about prepared to execute gentlemen at a moment's notice. Why, I never even killed a bluebottle.
Still, as Lord High Executioner...
My good sir, as Lord High Executioner, I've got to behead him in a month. I'm not ready yet. I don't know how it's done. I'm going to take lessons. I mean to begin with a guinea pig and work my way through the animal kingdom until I come to a second trombone. Why, you don't suppose that as a humane man I'd have accepted the post of Lord High Executioner if I hadn't thought the duties were purely nominal. I can't kill you. I can't kill anything. I can't kill anybody.
Calm, my poor fellow. We all have unpleasant duties to discharge at times. After all, what is it? If I don't mind, why should you? Remember, sooner or later, it must be done.
Must it? I'm not so sure about that.
What do you mean?
Why should I kill you when making an affidavit that you've been executed will do just as well? Here are plenty of witnesses. The Lord Chief Justice, the Lord High Admiral, Commander-in-Chief, Secretary of State for the Home Department, First Lord of the Treasury, and Chief Commissioner of Police.
But where are they?
There they are. They'll all swear to it, won't you?
Am I to understand that all of us high officers of state are required to perjure ourselves to ensure your safety?
Why not? You'd be grossly insulted as usual.
Oh, will the insult be cashed down or at a date?
It will be a ready money transaction.
Well, it'll be a useful discipline. Very good. Choose your fiction and I'll endorse it. Family pride. How do you like that, my buck?
But I tell you that life without Yum Yum...
Yum 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 Yum. Bother Yum Yum. Here, Commissioner, go and fetch Yum Yum. Now take Yum Yum and marry Yum Yum, and he go away and never come back again. Ah, here she is. Yum Yum, are you particularly busy?
Not particularly.
You've 5 minutes to spare?
Yes.
Then go along with His Grace, the Archbishop of Titipu, and he'll marry you at once.
But if I'm to be buried alive...
No, don't ask any questions, but do as I tell you, and Nanki Poo will explain all.
But one moment...
Not for worlds! Here comes the Mikado, no doubt to ascertain whether I've obeyed his decree. And if he finds you alive, I shall have the greatest difficulty in persuading him that I've beheaded you. Close thing that, for here he comes.
From every kind of man, obedience I expect. I'm the Emperor of Japan.
And I'm his daughter-in-law elect. He'll marry his son. He's only got one. To his daughter-in-law elect.
My morals have been declared particularly correct.
But they're nothing at all compared with those of his daughter-in-law elect. Oh, oh, to his daughter-in-law elect.
Oh!
Kind of way I govern each tribe and sect, all cheerfully own my sway.
Except his daughter-in-law elect, as tough as a bone, with a will of her own, is his daughter-in-law elect.
My nature is love and light, my freedom from all defect.
He's insignificant, quite compared with his daughter-in-law elect. Oh, oh, to his daughter-in-law elect.
Oh, oh, to his daughter-in-law
Mikado never did in Japan exist. To nobody second, I'm certainly reckoned a true philanthropist. It is my very humane endeavor to make to some extent each evil liver a running river of harmless merriment. My object all sublime I shall achieve in time. To let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make each prisoner pent, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment. Oh, prosy, dull society, sinners who chatter and bleat and bore, are said to hear sermons from mystical Germans who preach from 10 to 4. The amateur tenor whose vocal villainies all designed to shirk shall during off hours exhibit his powers to Madame Tussaud's waxwork. The lady who dyes a chemical yellow or stains her grey her puce or pinches her finger is painted with vigour and permanent walnut juice. The idiot who in railway carriage scribbles on window panes, we only suffer to ride on a bumper in parliamentary trains. My object all sublime I shall achieve in time. To let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make each prisoner pent, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment.
His object all sublime he will achieve in time. To let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime.
Advertising quack who wearies with tales of countless cures. His teeth have been acted, shall all be extracted by terrified amateurs. The musical singer attends a series of masses and fugues and ops by Bach interwoven with Sforn and Beethoven at classical Monday pops. The billiard sharp whom anyone catches, his doom's extremely hard. He's made to dwell in a donjon cell on a spot.
extravagant matches in fitless finger stalls, on a cloth untrue with a twisted queue and elliptic. I shall achieve in time to let the punishment fit the crime, the punishment fit the crime, and make his prisoner pent, unwillingly represent a source of innocent merriment, of innocent merriment.
His object all sublime, he will achieve in time to let the punishment fix the crime, the punishment fix.
I am honored in being permitted to welcome your majesty. I guess the object of your majesty's visit, your wishes have been attended to. The execution has taken place.
Oh, you've had an execution, have you?
Yes, the coroner has just handed me his certificate.
I am the coroner.
And this is the certificate of his death. At Titipu, in the presence of the Lord Chancellor, Lord Chief Justice, Attorney General, Secretary of State for the Home Department, Lord Mayor, and Groom of the Second Floor Front.
They were all present, Your Majesty. I counted them myself.
Very good, House. I wish I'd been in time for the performance.
A tough fellow he was too, Your Majesty. A man of gigantic strength. His struggles were terrific. It was really a remarkable scene.
Describe it.
The criminal cried as he dropped him down in a state of wild alarm. With a frightful, frantic, fearful frown, I bared my big right arm. I seized him by his little pigtail, and on his knees fell he. As he squirmed and struggled and gurgled and guggled, I drew my snake a snee. My snake a snee. Oh, never shall I forget the cry or the shriek that triggered he. As I gnashed my teeth, when from its sheath I do my snicker snee.
We know him well, he cannot tell untrue or conscious tales. He always tries to martyrize, and every time he fails.
He shivered and shook as he gave the sign for the stroke he didn't deserve. When all of a sudden his eye met mine, and it seemed to brace his nerve. For he nodded his head and kissed his hand, and he whistled an air, did he? As the saber drew, cut cleanly through his cervical vertebrae. His vertebrae. When a man afraid, a beautiful maid is a cheering sight to see. And it's, oh, I'm glad that moment sad was soothed by sight of me.
A terrible tale, on the same with truth it quite agrees. A taste exact of false fact, amounts to a disease.
Now, though you'd have said that head was dead, for its owner dead was he. It stood on its neck with a smile well bred and bowed three times to me. It was none of your impudent offhand nods, but as humble as could be. For it clearly knew the deference due to a man of pedigree. And it's all, I vow, this deathly bow was a touching sight to see. Though trunkless yet, it couldn't forget the deference due to me.
His heart he knew, he speaks the truth whenever he finds it.
This is very interesting, and I should like to have seen it. But we came about a totally different matter. A year ago, my son, the heir to the throne of Japan, bolted from our imperial court.
Indeed. Had he any reason to be dissatisfied with his position?
None whatever. On the contrary, I was going to marry him. Yet he fled.
I am surprised that he should have fled from one so lovely.
That's not true.
No.
You hold that I am not beautiful because my face is plain. But you know nothing. You are still unenlightened. Learn, then, that it is not in the face alone that beauty is to be sought. My face is unattractive.
It is.
But I have a left shoulder blade that is a miracle of loveliness. People come miles to see it. My right elbow has a fascination that few can resist.
Allow me.
It is on view Tuesdays and Fridays on presentation of visiting card. As for my circulation, it is the largest in the world.
And yet he fled.
And is now masquerading in this town, disguised as a second trombone.
A second trombone?
Yes. Would it be troubling you too much if I asked you to produce him? He goes by the name of...
Nanky Poo.
Nanky Poo.
It's quite easy. That is, it's rather difficult. In point of fact, he's gone abroad.
Gone abroad? His address?
Knightsbridge.
What's the matter?
See here, his name, Nanky Poo, beheaded this morning. Oh, where shall I find another? Where shall I find another?
Dear, 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 this is very tiresome. My poor fellow, in your anxiety to carry out my wishes, you have beheaded the heir to the throne of Japan.
I beg to offer an unqualified apology.
I desire to associate myself with that expression of regret.
We really hadn't the least notion.
Of course you hadn't. How could you? Come, 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 my good fellow, don't distress yourself. It was no fault of yours. If a man of exalted rank chooses to disguise himself as a second trombone, he must take the consequences. It really distresses me to see you take on so. I've no doubt he thoroughly deserved all he got.
We are infinitely obliged, Your Majesty.
Much obliged, Your Majesty.
Very much obliged, Your Majesty.
Obliged? Not a bit. Don't mention it. How could you tell?
No, of course we couldn't tell who the gentleman really was.
It wasn't written on his forehead, you know.
It might have been on his pocket handkerchief. The Japanese don't use pocket handkerchiefs.
I forget the punishment for compassing the death of the heir apparent.
Punishment?
Yes. Something lingering with boiling oil in it, I fancy.
Oh.
Something of that sort. I think boiling oil occurs in it, but I'm not sure.
Oh.
I know it's something humorous, but lingering.
Oh.
With either boiling oil or...
melted lead.
Melted lead.
Oh.
Come, come, don't fret. I'm not a bit angry.
If Your Majesty would accept our assurance, we had no idea.
Of course.
I knew nothing about it.
I wasn't there.
That's the pathetic part of it. Unfortunately, the fool of an act says, compassing the death of the heir apparent, there's not a word about a mistake.
No.
Or not knowing.
No.
Or having no notion.
No.
Or not being there.
No.
There should be, of course.
Yes.
But there isn't.
Oh.
That's the slovenly way in which these acts are always drawn. However, cheer up, it'll be all right. I'll have it altered next session. Now, let's see. About your execution. Will after luncheon suit you? Can you wait till then?
Oh, yes.
We can wait till then.
Then we'll make it after luncheon.
I don't want any lunch.
I'm really very sorry for you all, but it's an unjust world and virtue is triumphant only in theatrical performances.
See how the fates gives a lot. For A is happy, B is not, yet B is worthy, I dare say, of more prosperity than A.
Is B more worthy?
I should say he's worth a great deal more than A.
Yet A is happy, oh so happy, laughing, ha ha, chopping, ha ha, make a coughing, ha ha ha, ever joyous, ever gay,
happy, undeserving day.
Which I'm not, he should enjoy A's happy lot, and A should die in misery. That is assuming I am B.
But should A perish,
that should be, of course, assuming I am B. He should be happy, oh so happy, laughing, ha-ha, chopping, ha-ha, letter cropping, ha-ha-ha, but condemned to die is he.
Wretched meritorious me,
but condemned to die is he.
Wretched
nice mess you've got us into with your nodding head and the deference due to a man of pedigree.
Merely a corroborative detail intended to give artistic verisimilitude to an otherwise bald and unconvincing narrative.
Corroborative detail, indeed. Corroborative fiddlestick.
And you're just as bad as he is with your cock and bull stories about catching his eye and his whistling an air. But that's so like you, you must put in your oar.
But how about your big right arm?
Yes, and your snicker-snee.
Well, never mind about that now. There's only one thing to be done. Nanky Poo hasn't started yet. He must come to life again at once. Here he comes. Here, Nanky Poo. Yum yum. I've good news for you. You're reprieved.
Oh, but it's too late. I'm a dead man, and I'm off for my honeymoon.
Nonsense. A terrible thing has just happened. It seems that you're the son of the Mikado.
Yes, but that happened some time ago.
Is this the time for airy persiflage? Your father is here, and with Katisha.
My father? And with Katisha?
Yes, he wants you particularly.
So does she.
Oh, but he's married now.
But bless my heart, what has that to do with it?
Katisha claims me in marriage, but I can't marry her because I'm married already. Consequently, she will insist on my execution. And if I'm executed, my wife will have to be buried alive.
You see our difficulty?
Yes. I don't know what's to be done.
There's one chance for you. If you could persuade Katisha to marry you, she would have no further claim on me. And in that case, I could come to life without any fear of being put to death.
I marry Katisha?
I really think it's the only course.
But my good girl, have you seen her? She's something appalling.
Ah, that's only her face.
She has a left elbow which people come miles to see.
I am told that her right heel is much admired by connoisseurs.
My good sir, I decline to pin my heart upon any lady's right heel.
It comes to this. While Katy Shah is single, I prefer to be a disembodied spirit. When Katy Shah is married, existence will be as welcome as the flowers in spring.
The flowers that bloom in the spring shall now breathe promise of merry sunshine. As we merrily dance and we sing, tra-la, we welcome the hope that they bring, tra-la, of the summer of roses and wine, of the summer of roses and wine. And that's what we mean when we say that a thing is welcome as flowers that bloom in the spring. Tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, the flowers that bloom in the spring. Tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la.
The flowers that bloom in the spring, tra-la, have nothing to do with the case. I've got to take under my wing, tra-la, a most unattractive old thing,
tra-la,
with a caricature of a face, with a caricature of a face. And that's what I mean when I say or I sing. Oh, bother the flowers that bloom in the spring, tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, oh, bother the flowers of spring.
Tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la.
Katy Shah.
No! the miscreant who robbed me of my love. But vengeance pursues. They are heating the cauldron.
Kettisha, behold a suppliant at your feet. Kettisha, mercy.
Mercy! Had you mercy on him? See here, you. You have slain my love. He did not love me, but he would have loved me in time. I am an acquired taste. Only the educated palate can appreciate me. I was educating his palate when he left me. Well, he's dead. And where shall I find another? It takes years to train a man to love me. Am I to go through the weary round again at the same time? Implore mercy for you who robbed me of my prey. I mean my pupil. Just as his education was on the point of completion. Oh, where shall I find another? Yeah. Where shall I find another?
Yeah. What?
Kettisha, for years I have loved you with a white-hot passion which is slowly but surely consuming my very vitals. Ah, shrink not from me. If there is aught of woman's mercy in your heart, turn not away from a lovesick suppliant whose every fibre thrills at your tiniest touch. True it is that under a poor mask of disgust I have endeavoured to conceal a passion whose inner fires are broiling the soul within me. But the fire would not be smothered. It defies all attempts at extinction and breaking forth all the more eagerly for its long restraint. It declares itself in words that will not be weighed, that cannot be schooled, that should not be too severely criticised. Cat. Kattisha, I dare not hope for your love, but I will not live without it, darling.
You, whose hands still reek with the blood of my betrothed, dare to address words of passion to the woman you have so foully wronged.
I do. Accept my love, or I perish on the spot.
Go to. Who knows so well as I that no one ever yet died of a broken heart?
You know not what you say.
Listen.
On a tree by a river, a little tomtit sang willow, tit willow, tit willow. And I said to him, Dicky bird, why do you sit singing willow, tit willow, tit willow? Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cried, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. He slapped at his chest as he sat on that bough, singing willow, tit willow, tit willow. And a cold perspiration bespangled his brow. Oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. He sobbed and he sighed, and a gurgle he gave. Then he plunged himself into the billowy wave. And an echo arose from the suicide's grave. Willow, tit willow, tit willow.
Now I feel just as sure as I'm sure that my name isn't willow, tit willow, tit willow, that 'twas blighted affection that made him exclaim, oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. And if you remain careless and obdurate, I shall perish as he did, and you will know why. Though I probably shall not exclaim as I die, oh, willow, tit willow, tit willow. Thank you.
little hand?
Yes.
Poor little chap.
It's an affecting tale, and quite true. I knew the bird intimately.
Did you? He must have been very fond of her.
His devotion was something extraordinary.
Poor little chap. And if I refuse you, will you go and do the same?
At once?
No, no, you mustn't. Anything but that. I'm a silly little goose.
You are.
And you won't hate me because I'm just a little teeny weeny bit bloodthirsty, will you?
Hate you? Katisha, is there not beauty even in bloodthirstiness?
My idea, exactly.
There is beauty in the bellow of the blast. There is grandeur in the growling of the gale. There is eloquent according when the lion is a-roaring and the tiger is a-lashing of his tail.
Yes, I like to see a tiger from the Congo or the Niger, and especially with lashing of his tail.
Volcanoes have a splendor that is grim, and earthquakes only terrify the dolts. But to him who's scientific, there is nothing as terrific in the falling of a flight of thunderbolts.
Yes, in spite of all my weakness, if I have a little weakness, it's a passion for a flight of thunderbolts.
If that is so, sing very young, very young, very young, very young, very young, very young, very away we'll go, and merrily, merrily, go, cuddly, jerry, till day is done.
Beauty in extreme old age. Do you fancy you are elderly enough? Information I'm requesting on the subject interesting. Is the maiden all the better when she's tough?
True, at the point of opinion, it's a general opinion that she lasts a good deal longer when she's tough.
Are you old enough to marry, do you think? Won't you wait until you're 80 in the shade? There's the fascination frantic in a ruin that's romantic. Do you think you are sufficiently decayed?
To the matter that you mention, I have given some attention, and I think I am sufficiently decayed.
If that is so, sing very young, very extravagant, and very odd, they solve one. Away we'll go, and merrily, merry, more tardily, tarry till day is done. If that is so, sing very young, very extravagant, and very odd, they solve one. Away we'll go, and merrily, merry, more tardily, tarry till day is done. Sing very young, very will, merrily, merry, more tardily, tarry till day is done.
Lunch and we're quite ready. Have all the painful preparations been made?
Your Majesty, all is prepared.
Then produce the unfortunate gentleman and his two well-meaning but misguided accomplices.
Oh, mercy! Mercy for Coco! Mercy for Pity Sing! Mercy even for Pooh Bah!
I beg your pardon. I don't think I quite caught that remark.
Mercy even for Pooh Bah.
Mercy! My husband that was to have been is dead. And I have just married this miserable object.
Oh, you've not been long about it.
We were married before the registrar.
I am the registrar.
I see. But my difficulty is that as you have slain the heir apparent...
The heir apparent is not slain.
Bless my heart, my son.
And your daughter-in-law elected.
Traitor, you have deceived me.
Oh, yes, you are entitled to a little explanation, but I think he will give it better whole than in pieces.
Your Majesty, it's like this. It is true that I stated that I had killed Nanki Poo.
Yes, with most affecting particulars.
Merely corroborative detail intended to give artistic verisimilitude to a ball.
Will you refrain from putting in your oar? It's like this. When your Majesty says, let a thing be done, that thing is as good as done. Practically it is done, because your Majesty's will is law. Your Majesty says, kill a gentleman. A gentleman is told off to be killed. Consequently, that gentleman is as good as dead. Practically, he is dead. And if he is dead, why not say so?
I see. Nothing could possibly be more satisfactory.
For he's gone and married Yum Yum. Your anger pray bury, for all will be merry. I think you had better succumb. Enjoy your expressions of glee.
On this subject I pray you be dumb. Your notions, though many, are not worth a penny. The word for your guidance is mum. You've a very good bargain in me.
On this subject we pray you be dumb. We think you had better succumb.
Threatened cloud has passed away. What though the night may come too soon?
We hear that it is about to moon.
Then let the throng.
We guess not, our joy at once.
With laughing song.
With laughing song and merry dance. Then let the throng, our joy at once. With laughing song and merry dance. With laughing song and merry dance.
Performance of The Mikado by W.S. Gilbert and Arthur Sullivan, Coco was played by Peter Pratt. Nanki Poo was sung by Max Worthley and spoken by David Enders. The Mikado was sung by Forbes Robinson and spoken by Ronald Baddeley. Yum Yum was sung by Cynthia Glover and spoken by Meg Wynn Owen. Pooh Bar was sung by Ian Wallace and spoken by Jack May. Pish Tush was sung by Derek Hammond Stroud and spoken by Hugh Dixon. Pity Sing was played by Patricia Lambert. Peep Bo was sung by Ursula Connors and spoken by Wendy Lovelock. Catisha was sung by Jean Allister and spoken by Margaret Gordon. The schoolgirls, nobles, guards, and other inhabitants of Titipu were the John McCarthy Singers. You also heard the BBC Concert Orchestra, leader Arthur Levins. The performance was conducted by Stanford Robinson and produced by Michael Moores.